Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the 1977 Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition Monster Manual. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters I find therein, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In our last episode, we got started on the R section of the Monster Manual, with the Rakshas, the Ram, Giant, and the Rat, Giant, parentheses, Sumatran, close parentheses. In this episode, we're going to take a look at some more R monsters, including the Ray, the Remoras, and the Rhinoceros. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. This is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. So thank you very much to our new patron, Christopher McGurr. Okay, let's get started. First up, we have the Ray. These are fish. There are a lot of fish in this monster manual, and in particular, it's interesting to me that two of the fish here are really relevant only if you happen to be walking along the seabed. Although I guess they do live in shallow water, so maybe you're pushing your boat out into the ocean or something like that. First off, we've got the manta ray. Now, manta rays, as described here, are very big. The largest species of manta ray get up to about 7 meters across. That's about 23 feet. But here it says that they have large mouths which they can use to swallow non-giant creatures whole. Now, of course, while manta rays do have very large forward-facing mouths, they have those large mouths because they use them to bring gallons and gallons and gallons of water into their mouths so that they can sieve out nutritious phytoplankton, and not really a menace to a whole-sized creature. But they're super cool. I really think that's the reason rays make such a showing here in the Monster Manual, is because they're so interesting looking. And manta rays in particular, these vast creatures with fins like wings, they breach and come splashing out of the water, and they look super cool. So here they're a monster, even though in real life they're harmless. Now, what's not harmless is what I take to be Pungi ray. And this is a ray that buries itself in the sand in shallow waters, and it's got these spines on its back that look a little bit like vegetation. And so the danger is that you're going to step on it. Now, I think that the Pungi ray may be based on a species called the porcupine ray. And while the porcupine ray doesn't have a row of spines along its back like the Pungi ray, it does have sort of quite prickly skin, like shark skin, but maybe even a little bit rougher. And the skin of the porcupine ray, like shark skin, is used as a grip or even as a tool. So there are some parts of the Pacific where they use it almost like sandpaper. And in Japan, they use shark skin for the handles, the grips of swords, because its rough texture makes it less likely to slip. And also, the skin of the porcupine ray is used in this way. So I don't know that it's necessarily got the deadly, irritating spines of the Pungi ray, but maybe the closest thing is the porcupine ray. And then finally, we got the stingray. Stingrays are great, and I don't need to tell you about them. You step on or near them, and they sting you. Simple as that, really. And I really think that the stingray may be the only one of these that you would sort of naturally assume would be in here, but rays are just cool. They fall into that category of animals which are likely to have a motorcycle, weapon, or spaceship named after them, and therefore I think they're very likely to turn up in adventure fiction. Although, I don't think I'm going to have a manta ray that eats people in my game. I'll definitely, you know, twist it a little bit and just say, well, you know, the Vorbalaxian ray eats people, and just use the manta ray stats from the Monster Manual. Next up, we have the Remoras, and I looked up how you pronounce that. I've always said Remoras, and to be perfectly honest with you, I've never really said it very much, because this is not a monster that comes up a lot in my experience, even though it has stayed in the Monster Manual to the present day. So it's not one of these ones that got dropped. If you look at, say, the 5th edition Monster Manual, it has a lot fewer monsters in it than, because the individual entries are much, much longer. I mean, the book is longer too, but I think if I had to count them up, there would be quite a lot of entries from the 1E Monster Manual that did not make it into the final version. Or maybe they're just in the big appendix full of animals at the back. But the Remoras has stayed pretty consistent, and I kind of don't get why. It's like a big dragon centipede monster. It lives in cold environments. It burrows up through the ground. It runs along on its kind of centipede-y hind legs, and its front section raises up, and its front legs are adapted into sort of like almost little wings. It looks like a cobra's hood or something, and then it strikes. And it has these spots on its back that get heated up when it is agitated. It generates heat. And so if you're swallowed whole inside its guts, I guess it cooks you alive. Although there are no rules for that. But if you hit the glowing red spots on its back, your weapon can be melted and you take some heat damage. I don't know why that's there. Particularly because at this point, the glowing red critical hit target wasn't even a video game meme. Not in 1977. So yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just so decontextualized that it doesn't really offer a narrative hook. It's just something that would fight you in an Arctic environment, but that isn't what you'd consider to be a stereotypical Arctic monster, like polar bear or a yeti or a frost giant or something like that. So I suppose in that sense, it does have value, just kind of like a surprise value. It's a little different from what you would be expecting in that context. Other than that, I don't really know what appeals about it. I will say that it has a splendid illustration. Once again, when I say something has a really good illustration in the Monster Manual, a lot of the time that illustration's by David Trompier, and this is no exception. So it's a really good looking illustration, and maybe that's why it has continued, because it has such a memorable visual element. On the other hand, it's not something that necessarily is going to make a great miniature, if only because the Remarhaz is very large. So it doesn't seem like that's the aspect to it. I genuinely don't know. I don't know if it's something that was created that way because there was already a toy or miniature that could be adapted. That does sometimes happen. I don't know. I just genuinely have no idea. So the Remarhaz is, I mean, it's got a good look. It's got kind of a fun gimmick, the glowing hot parts, and it definitely seems like alien wildlife, right? This is something that you can imagine inhabiting a planet that, well, maybe not the Enterprise, but imagine, you know, a planet that Adam Strange might find himself on or something like that. Definitely got that Silver Age science fiction kind of a vibe. So I'm open to being persuaded that there are good uses for the Remarhaz. I just don't, off the top of my head, know what they are. Finally, we have the rhinoceros. This comes in common rhinoceros and woolly rhinoceros versions. The woolly rhinoceros is, you know, a bit bigger, has some more hit dice, a little better armor class, you know, mere prehistoric megafauna, and otherwise, pretty much a rhinoceros. Rhinoceroses are pretty cool. They are big, armored herbivores. I believe that their thick skins, which can be as much as 5 centimeters, that's 2 inches thick, evolved around the same time as really big teeth on saber-toothed cats and similar animals. And so they're kind of a form of protection against the claws and fangs of predators. Because you think about it, stabbing 2 inches into something actually pretty difficult. Anyway, rhinos are a lot of fun. They're big and strong. They will charge you. They don't have great eyesight. You can maybe get along with them. You can maybe tame one and ride it around. There is art of rhinos with saddles, although I assume that this is to be ridden by kind of mythical creatures. I don't know that there's art of people riding rhinos. I know that in medieval India, rhino hide is sometimes used for armor. I don't know if it's that's practical or just ornamental. Again, I don't know that they come up very often because I don't know that there are that many games where you spend a lot of time hanging around in the savannah or the veldt or whatever it might be. And woolly rhinoceroses, of course, show up in colder climates. And again, if barbarians are not riding on their backs, I don't know what you're doing. Somebody, was it Grenadier, made a wonderful woolly rhinoceros with like barbarian warriors hanging off of straps on its side, getting ready to chuck their stone-tipped javelins. And I am into it. So definitely woolly rhinoceroses are followed around by tribes of hairy barbarians, you know, as the phalanxes, or perhaps I should say phalanges, of pikemen from civilized nations come marching into their traditional hunting grounds, you know, weighed down by the snow and whatever. Their hearts fail them at the sound of the thundering hooves of the woolly rhinoceros brigades. Yeah, into that. So this is a set of pretty good monsters. We got some tropical aquatic monsters in the form of rays. We've got the Remarhaz, which I don't know what it's for, but I'm willing to believe that it's for something, and which has definitely got a good, zany, kind of out-there science fiction look to it. And we've got the rhinoceros, which is strong and contains the woolly rhinoceros, which is splendid. Pretty good all around. Next time, we'll be venturing into the Arabian Nights with the Rock, and then we've got some real old-fashioned D&D nonsense with the Roper and the Rock Rub, and then maybe we'll get as far as the Rust Monster. So please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the deities and demigods advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.